Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back again, once again, Monday. We return, and we're feeling charitable today, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, that would be safe to say.
Yes. We are going to do a wrap-up of some of the major haunt-related charities. Because here's the thing. Charity is something that flows through this industry. Many haunts are founded by charities or donate a significant portion of their revenue or profits to charities. There are plenty of non-profit haunts that are also professional haunts that donate more than 50% to a charity. That way they can work with the charity and get assistance. But we wanted to take a look at charities that are specifically targeted at Halloween and Halloween-related issues.
Right.
And these are charities that you can support, whether you are a home haunter, whether you're a major haunt, or something in between.
Just somebody who likes Halloween.
You're just someone who likes Halloween.
Yeah.
These are charities that you can support, you can do awesome things with, and maybe make some kids happy, you know, or some people have very, very happy.
Yeah.
So long story short, we got a lot of charities to go over. We'll talk more about sort of the rules for the charities we're talking about in a minute.
Right.
But first, it's conference reminders.
Woohoo!
So yes, I think you kicked off last week. I'll do it this week. And coming up soon, the date is getting closer, people. This might, next to the last podcast, we get to mention this. It's Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show, March 23rd through 26th at the St. Louis, Missouri America Center. Early bird discounts of $50 off between now and March 20th. Once again, these dates are creeping up. If you want to go, get on this. New this year is Escape Room City, a zone all about escape rooms. It's about a quarter of the trade show floor, according to the site. So worth checking out if you're into escape rooms. You can learn more at the HAA show, thehashow.com.
Next, we have Room Escape Conference and Tour, May 1st through the 5th in Niagara Falls, New York. Niagara Falls Convention Conference and Event Center.
Yes, you're complaining. I've been saying that one wrong this whole time, haven't we?
I don't know. Tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Rooms.
Escape Games.
Yeah. Escape Games.
Gonna be a long
now,
show.
Yeah. Well, see, so this is it. Last week it was your turn. This week it's mine.
Yeah,
conferences the 1st through the 3rd, and tours are the 4th through the 5th. RoomEscapeShow.com for more information.
Get your passports in order if you're going to do all those visits.
Right.
Beyond that, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention, May 12th through the 14th in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. They'll be touring House of Shadows. It's a multi-attraction, like 8 different attractions at this place. It looks really, really cool. But you can learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Then, June 8th through 11th, we have Midwest Haunters Convention, Columbus, Ohio, at the Greater Columbus Center. Touring Scaratorium, Scare Factor, Dead Acres, Haunted Hoochie, and hosting a late night monster beach party. All of those are on the same night,
yeah,
so you gotta pick your poison, figure out which you wanna do. And you can find out more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Let's see, and after that, July 29th and 30th, it's Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California, the Long Beach Convention Center. It's done by the same people who do Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventures. Not a lot of details right now, still a little early. Keep up to date on it, midsummerscream.org.
Okay, and then August 5th through the 6th, we have Scare LA, the Los Angeles Convention Center in West Halls. There will be over 200 vendors and many panels on the haunted attraction business. There will also be some big names that are going to be hosting and stuff that hasn't been announced yet, but I'm just assuming from previous years that will happen. You can find out more and keep up on that information at scarela.com.
And wrapping this up, it is Halloween and Haunt Fest Show, August 25th through the 27th in Dallas, Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. Few details right now, way, way out on this one. HalloweenandHaunt.com is your go-to place if you're in the area and want to attend.
Yep.
So, yes. This is the reason we wanted to do this show now is this is the time of year haunts are probably starting to think about the charities and the organizations they want to partner with.
Right. If and, they don't have, long-standing partnerships and things. And I'd say that that's also one of the things, if you're looking at starting a new professional haunt, is that's one of the first decisions you have to make is if you're going to be charity related or not.
Yeah, and we actually had, there was a really, really great talk on this at HauntCon, not this year, two years ago. And basically, the whole premise of it is this: if you partner with the right charity, they can assist you with a lot of the heavy lifting, such as finding where you're going to haunt and, you know, where you're going to run the haunt,
right,
getting the permits you need in order, and helping you get price reductions and a lot of the stuff you're doing.
Right. And a lot of companies will also donate to charities where they won't donate to just a business.
Yeah, obviously. And so the idea there is you get all this heavy lifting, and in return you dump 51% of the profits or into this charity, and you become a charity haunt. And yeah, you can actually run a charity haunt professionally.
Yes.
Many people do that. So it's something to think about. But anyways, if you are thinking about ways in which you can get more involved with haunt-related charities, please do bear in mind that most of these charities we're going to be describing are 365-day-a-year affairs, just like haunts.
Yeah.
We're always working on our haunts. They're always working on their charities. It's very much the same thing, so keep that in mind. There are opportunities to donate money, items, or time, like right now in many cases. The whole reason this conversation got started for us is we just donated some time to a charity that's on this list, and we'll be hitting, I'm sure we'll talk more about that when we get down to it.
Exactly.
We did that like last week, I think it was.
Yeah, last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, there are opportunities to get involved now, but also more opportunities to get involved during season and ways that you can sort of partner up and build your own rep. And here's the thing, you know, this is all of these charities, sort of, we're looking at United States charities right now.
Right.
I did find some interesting ones in the UK, but we had to have a line somewhere.
Right.
Maybe we'll do a UK one later.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, we're looking at U.S. charities that are doing things that also help keep Halloween alive. They're usually donating money or items for some other cause.
Right.
But they're a part of keeping the Halloween tradition, the Halloween spirit alive. So supporting them is a double whammy. You get to help a great cause, and you get to support the holiday that helps our industry thrive.
Yeah, and, you know, it looks good for us to be involved in these things, you know?
You know, we talk all the time about how we tend to get a little beat up sometimes by chambers of commerce, and, you know, people don't always want to have a business next to a haunted house and things like that. So this is a good way to improve the public image of the industry and also of your haunt.
Yeah.
And maybe just give yourself a few headaches down the line.
Yeah, we're not just the weirdos that are on the fringe of society scaring people.
We're part of the larger community, and we're here to support our friends, our neighbors, and everything else.
Yep.
So let's talk about some of these charities that we found and have been researching. Now, the first one, let's get this one out of the way.
Yeah.
This is a get it out of the way moment, the Spirit of Children.
Yeah.
The website for it is at spirithalloween.com, and that's because it is connected with and very intricately with Spirit Halloween stores.
Right. If you go into a Spirit Halloween store, when they are open, you will see the advertisements for these pretty much everywhere.
And it's always a little weird for us. We don't shop much at Spirit these days.
No, our first couple of years, because we didn't have the experience or the know-how to build the stuff that we build now.
And honestly, we could do an entire episode on Spirit and our thoughts on it, just because, to me, one of the problems that Spirit's had is, like, 10, 11 years ago when we were starting, the quality, especially a lot of the props, seemed higher, and the costs were lower, and it's like now the cost is higher and the quality's lower, so we buy significantly less there. Yeah. We do buy a few consumables. It's a good place to get your last-minute fog juice and some light bulbs and things like that. But
yeah, but it's also, you know, their after Halloween sale is still worth hitting up.
Absolutely. But even if you never shop there, if you leave flyers at Spirit, which you probably do, honestly,
right?
You've probably already donated, as they usually require donations in order to be allowed to leave flyers. In fact, they usually require, at least in our area, and let us know if your area is different.
Yeah.
Once again, Haunt Weekly at Twitter and Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Let us know if your situation, your town is different. But where we're at, we have to have at least the armband.
Yeah, the $10 donation. $10
donation armband to be able to leave flyers. And it's always weird for us because we're a free haunt. We're a home haunt.
Yeah.
And so it's always a struggle for us because it's like, ugh. You know, we already, you know, spent, you know, 10% of our budget basically on these damn flyers.
Yeah.
And now we got to pay to leave them. But at the same time, so I've always had a little frustration with this charity, honestly. But it's actually not a bad charity as we'll get into.
Well, and the thing is that I think part of that frustration comes from whenever they first opened in this area,
mm-hmm.
in this region, we could leave as many flyers as we wanted for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then some years they'll charge and some years they won't.
Yeah, there's inconsistencies there. Yeah.
I think that's where the frustration more comes from for me.
Now, the thing that's always interesting is they talk about the Spirit of Children. They talk about sort of the idea, but they never actually say what they do until you really dig into them, the website.
Right.
And the idea is actually pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
I've got to say, the idea is straightforward. In children's hospitals, most of them at least, they have what's known as a child life department.
Yeah.
And this department basically is the place that tries to minimize the trauma on children for being in the hospital.
Right.
They plan events, they hold parties, they bring video games in, they do whatever they can to make sure that the children are comfortable and happy, even though they're hospital bound.
And still get to be kids.
Yeah, and still get to be kids, exactly. And so what happens is Spirit of Halloween takes the money they raise, and according to their site, they do it with 100% of the funds, no overhead, nothing.
Right.
It's a direct one-to-one.
Right, which I also didn't realize until you were doing the research.
They take it and they donate it to the Child Life Department so that they can host Halloween-related events. They also accept donations of costumes and some props, anything that might help put on a really cool Halloween event in a children's hospital.
Yeah.
And to date, the charity has raised over $29 million over the course of 9 years. And I looked, they actually do sponsor our local children's hospital here in New Orleans.
Right.
And they also sponsor one, I believe, in Shreveport, are the two children's hospitals in Louisiana they back. But they do support over 130 hospitals across the nation.
Yeah. So that's pretty big.
It's a pretty big organization. It's probably the biggest, in terms of money, direct Halloween, you know,
right.
I mean, or directly related to Halloween charity I could find.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing. The obvious way to support these guys is to donate.
Yes.
And if you're in the haunt industry, you're probably going to have to anyways when you go to leave flyers.
Right. But know now that all of that money, not just part of it, is going to give kids Halloween.
So be maybe a little more generous, I guess, when you do it. And
yeah.
You know, I admit I'm not a fan of Spirit in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But this does seem to be a genuine and a good thing that they are doing. So I do want to continue to support that.
Right.
And another way you can do this is get onto their site. Look up the hospitals they support. See if there's one near you.
Yeah.
Contact that hospital and say, hey, we're with such and such a haunt. Is there any way we can participate in bringing Halloween to the children?
Yeah.
And see if there's a way. Because, A, they're going to get a donation to do exactly that.
Right.
So this might be an excellent opportunity for you to come in and bring in some costume characters.
Exactly.
Mill about, bring some candy, do some good to the children. And, yeah, and they'll have the financial support to do the other stuff that's necessary to make the party happen.
Right. And usually there is some kind of news coverage at these events.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt from that angle either.
Yeah. I mean, just from a, you know, business, selfish kind of viewpoint, you can get some publicity out of this, you know.
And by the way, if your local children's hospital is not served or partnered with the Spirit of Children,
right.
Still reach out to them.
Yeah.
This is basically, what you need to do is call your local children's hospital, contact the Child Life Department.
Yeah.
It seems to be pretty consistently the name of it across the hospitals in my research. And say, look, Halloween's coming up. Is there anything we can do as haunters to make it? And then maybe some of your less scary characters, send them out, give the kids a good time.
Yeah, just be good ambassadors for the industry.
I think this is a great idea, and I think the opportunity for our industry here isn't necessarily to participate through donations, because $29 million over 9 years, you know, our donations may or may not make a huge impact, but we have the expertise and the people and the skill set to really ramp this up and make it cool for the kids.
Right.
And I think that's where we can provide the biggest impact, is by going to these hospitals, by participating. So that's something I think, you know, a little bit closer in, we're going to see about doing ourselves.
Yeah, maybe, you know, they want something built to make their, you know, area, living area scary.
Offer help decorate, yeah.
You know.
You got a good build team, I'm sure. Go offer to build a little something for them or do some decoration.
Even like just a little photo booth type cutout thing that people can take pictures, you know, put your face through the hole of the ghost or whatever.
Yeah, long story short, this is, I think it's an excellent opportunity. I wish I had thought of this one sooner. I think this is really, really kick-ass.
Yeah.
I want to see more done with this, and I guess I'll stop being so cranky at Spirit over.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's step one.
I will admit, I never really understood, because they do a very poor job of explaining it.
They do. They just say, "Do you want to donate?" And they don't
Spirit
say
of Children.
how much of it goes to it, or
where
what
it's
it
going,
does.
Or what.
Yeah. So they do a poor job of explaining it on site.
Yeah, definitely check out spirithalloween.com. They have a Spirit of Children section on the site. I'm not giving out the URL because it's like ridiculously long.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out, see what they do, and it might be something where we can, as an industry, partner a little more closely by providing some manpower, I think.
Right.
I think it's an interesting idea. Okay, probably the best known one is Trick or Treat for UNICEF. I did not realize until I was researching how long Trick or Treat for UNICEF had been going on.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it had been going on a long time.
Yeah, isn't the Wendy's Frosty Bucks, that for UNICEF?
I think so, yeah. I don't...
Yeah. Because every year, Wendy's sells a packet of dollar Frosty coupons. You buy it for a couple of bucks, and you've got Frosties for 2 months. So
yeah, I do not know.
I'm trying
to look it up to see who the Wendy's Frosty.
Sorry. We'll keep to the show notes.
Actually, it is... No, it's not to UNICEF. It's the Dave Thomas Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's like, that makes sense.
It does.
It makes perfect sense. Anyways.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, this is the most famous one, and it's best known for kids and or their parents carrying these trick-or-treat for UNICEF boxes as they go around trick-or-treating as a means of collecting donations for UNICEF.
Yeah.
You don't put candy in the boxes.
No.
You put money in there.
Right.
And one element of it I found interesting is you can put change in there pretty comfortably, because they have a partnership with Coinstar, where basically if the people who collect funds for Trick or Treat for UNICEF go to Coinstar and dump the big bucket of change in there, Coinstar takes no fee as long as they enter the code. I think the code is 5555.
Yeah.
The code, and all that money just gets straight donated to UNICEF.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, and that's an interesting way to do it. But yeah, basically the idea is this is used to raise money for UNICEF's U.S. fund. And UNICEF is one of those charities I've been super familiar with in terms of I always hear their name.
Yeah.
But never really looked up what they did.
Right.
And basically what they do is they help children all over the world with sanitation, access to food, access to clean water, and access to basic medical care, in particular vaccinations.
Right.
And they are one of the organizations at the forefront of eradicating childhood polio and polio in general. They are one of the organizations at the forefront of providing access to sanitation and clean water in places that do not have it.
Yeah.
And they, too, are a very good charity. 90 cents on every dollar goes to the children, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good percentage of that.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I don't think I've ever seen anyone trick-or-treat for UNICEF.
Mm-hmm.
Not to our house.
No.
And I also wonder how many people would donate to it, because I think people are a little suspicious of people with, you know, boxes trying to get money.
Yeah, I understand. And I think a lot of this actually comes from... how our views of this have changed in the last 60 years.
Yeah.
In the 19... Because, like I said, this was started in 1950.
Yeah, in Wholesome Leave It to Beaver country is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It was a different story.
I mean, it really wasn't as wholesome, but there was a broader belief it was that wholesome.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, there wasn't direct donation through the internet sites.
Yeah.
You know, so people had to go door to door, basically. Yeah. And why not do it when you're taking your kid
around trick or treating? You're already going door to door, exactly. Yeah. You're already doing it.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You might as well continue it. What's interesting about this is basically this is one of the longest standing traditions, but it does seem to be one, as you noted, is evolving.
Right.
We've been receiving, you and I have been receiving trick or treaters for 20 years now, pretty much.
Yeah.
Damn near 20 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, before that, we were doing it at our houses. And so, two states, I've never seen one of these boxes.
No.
That I can recall.
I would have to ask my mom. I think that maybe when I was little, I might have done collections. But I don't remember anybody giving money. But yeah. She would have been carrying the box. So, you know.
Yeah, but the skepticism is understandable.
Right.
But still, this is an excellent opportunity to do something with it because you can donate and or collect donations. You can do that directly on the website. By the way, the website is unicefusa.org/trick-or-treat is the site. You can also just find it on unicefusa.org.
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable. I think that it might actually work better in small towns than cities.
That's also possible.
Everybody knows everybody in a small town.
But one very cool thing about this program is they have a very, very strong school program built into it.
Yes.
Where classrooms are getting involved and participating in this. And that seems to be sort of the new direction this is heading.
Yes, and I have seen that.
I have seen that
even
too.
Even when I was in school.
Yes. So, you know, as a haunt, you guys can help get your local school involved with this.
Right.
Get classrooms involved with this.
Sponsor a UNICEF event.
Exactly. It's a very, very good way to participate in this. And, you know, they really don't have a program for haunts or private companies in general.
Right.
But still, like I said, through the schools, you can definitely get involved in this and help make children's lives a little better across the world.
Yeah.
So it's very, very cool. And also, I did not know this. Did you know that UNICEF is under the UN flag, the UN banner? They're part of the UN?
I want to say I knew that, but I'm not sure.
Not 100% sure. I understand that. I understand.
It seems like those things
it
go together in my
mind.
Seems
like a fact I knew, but...
but I could just know it because you just told me.
Man, neither. Well, okay, those are the two big ones that pretty much everyone knows.
Right.
So now we have a handful of ones that are less known, and hopefully some of these will be of interest to you.
Right.
Now, the first one actually is the one here locally that we spent some time helping at last week. And we are going to have one or both of the founders on the show at some point.
Yes.
It's just we're trying to work that one out, I promise.
They've got busy schedules.
They have, like, majorly crazy private lives, plus this insane charity, plus you got to factor in our craziness.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little time, but we're going to do it, I promise you. I'm going to hound them until they block me on Facebook.
Which might happen.
It might happen.
Then we'll just show up at the next thing to donate and say, ha, we borrowed our microphone.
We know we're your charity. Yes.
Yes.
That's the new plan. I like this plan. But yes, the organization is called Ween Dream, W-E-E-N Dream, and it's one word. And you can find more, the website for them is weendream.org.
Yes.
And so this is a local New Orleans charity, but they operate nationally.
Right. We actually heard about this.
Yes.
First over at Haunter's Toolbox.
Yeah, which was really, really interesting because it's like, wait a minute, these guys are here.
Yeah, it's like, oh, cool, there's a charity thing going on. Oh, wait, it's right here.
Yeah, and it's really, really funny because they're actually in a, what's the name of the building? I'm trying to remember.
American Legion?
Yeah, an American Legion station here in town. And it's like, I've driven past that station how many, dozens?
Yeah, we have friends that live over there.
Yeah, right off the road, basically. So, yeah, we've driven past that station one way or another probably dozens of times.
Yeah.
And never thought twice about it. But yes, what they do is they give free costumes to kids in need all over the country. And that in need could mean a wide variety of things.
It
could be simple, you know, financial need. It could be, you know, accessibility need. They maybe aren't able to obtain a costume. Right. They have disabilities or some other reason they cannot obtain a costume on their own. They help. And last year they gave out 1,500 costumes to kids in 25 states.
Right.
Which is pretty flipping badass.
Yeah, because this is their third, will be their fourth season,
this will be
right?
Just their fourth season this year. These guys are fairly new. And it's a super low budget affair. I mean, we've said, 100% or 90% or whatever. I can't even begin to tell you because their budget is a fraction. If you want to donate to a charity and know that your donation is going to really matter, really be of good use and make a significant percentage of, you know, what they can do,
right?
This is a good charity to target.
Yeah.
And they are a 501(c). They are all that stuff taken care of.
Right.
But the idea is basically they collect donations of gently used or unsold costumes. Mm-hmm. And lately, they've been able to get Amazon on board with this.
Right. They had boxes show up. They didn't even know that they were coming.
Yeah.
They had boxes on pallets show up from Amazon, which was kind of cool.
And I found it interesting because we were helping there. I noticed that every damned one of those Amazon boxes had the little Echo you get Amazon sticker on. I think you could have left that off.
Yeah, maybe.
You could have left that off.
The boxes probably already had it on it. You know,
and maybe that's probably more accurate. It probably came with. But anyway, it was just funny.
Yeah.
But yes, they have pallets and pallets of boxes. They already have hundreds of costumes. Probably over 1,000 costumes
probably
in store.
Probably over 1,000 in store,
Here's the thing. They probably still don't have enough. They have been undergoing literal exponential growth.
Yeah. Yeah. They're three times the size that they started.
Yeah. They pretty much seem to double in size or roughly double in size every year.
Yeah.
So, or I guess it's not technically exponential growth to the math fans and the audience, but you get the point. It's pretty goddamn close.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. So, as more people find out about it, it's going to explode sometime soon. And they need help year-round.
They need help year-round because organizing, checking, and doing the work to get these costumes together is important. And then they have the task of they receive the request. They receive the request, I believe, during the summers when it starts.
Right.
And then they have to match the costume, the size, the request, and everything to the little boy or little girl that's going to receive it.
Or, in some cases, the adult disabled person.
Yes, they do help. Adult costumes as well, by the way. That's worth noting. But it's primarily children's costumes.
It is.
But still, it's a very, very cool program. And they also have a pumpkin patch program. God damn, that's hard to say surprisingly. Yes. Pumpkin patch program with kids with special needs. So, for example, they have a tracheotomy or they're in a wheelchair. And they can't get into a costume super easily. This gives individuals or organizations a chance to sponsor those children directly.
Right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There are also some children who have allergies to specific types of costumes, the material used in it.
Yeah.
And so that's where the pumpkin patch comes in because those are more brand new costumes.
Yeah.
It's like an angel tree that's more familiar for Christmas.
Yeah.
You pick up a pumpkin off the patch and then you go and buy that costume for that specific kid.
Yeah, these are the kids that cannot be easily serviced by the regular Ween Dream program for one reason or another. Like I said, it could be allergies, it could be, you know, a physical disability, it could be anything.
Right.
And so you can go and sponsor that one kid. But yeah, this is a really, really, really cool charity. And the thing about this is there are many, many similar ones that operate like locally in various areas.
Yeah.
But this is the only one, to our knowledge and to their knowledge, that's truly a national effort.
Right.
And they work with homeless shelters all across the country. They work with, you know, even like religious charities to try to get costumes.
Yeah, and some hospitals, schools. Yep. Organizations targeted underprivileged youth.
Yes.
Things like that.
And it's run, and here's the thing that's totally crazy about it to me.
Yeah.
It's run by two people.
Yep. We met them both.
We met the entire staff there.
Yeah. And for the record, when we donated our time, they talked about when they went closer in, they'll have a couple of schools, colleges that will donate time, kids will come in.
Yeah.
But we were the only ones there right now. So if you're looking
to
do
stuff,
Yeah.
And you're looking to help with a really, really cool charity that spreads their love and their magic nationally.
Right.
These are some good people. And like I said, financial donations would be a huge help because they operate on a multi-$1,000 budget, basically. That's my understanding. They're not a very large charity financially.
Yeah, I think it was less than $10,000.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't remember exactly what they said, but I know it was a small budget.
Yeah.
But they make it count. Basically, and it was really funny hearing Allison describe how she would stuff everything she could into a flat rate shipping box to get it as cheaply as she could where it was going.
Yeah.
Like cramming it in and stapling it.
Yeah,
they make the dollar stretch is what I'm saying.
That's where most of the money gets spent is actually in shipping these all over the country.
They spend next to nothing on advertising and they're not getting paid. I can guarantee you that much.
Yeah, no, they do it for the love of it.
And the space is donated by the American Legion. So everything goes to the shipping costs and to the actual expenses of running it, the best I can tell you.
Yeah.
So this is a really great organization. And some ways to support, by the way, obviously donate costumes or money.
Yeah.
If you have spare costumes sitting in the back that you haven't used in seasons and they still look good, consider donating them.
Yeah. Also accessories. And unopened makeup kits.
Yes. Unopened makeup kits are great. Obviously, you can donate money.
Yeah.
That's fine, too. Like I said, it would definitely, the dollar would be stretched and be welcome.
Also, finding places where they can send costumes.
Yes.
If you have somewhere locally that you think would be good, suggest it to them.
Yeah.
Or get it to us and we'll suggest it to them.
Yeah. Definitely. They also have, I found this one really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have an Amazon wish list.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And the wish list, by the way, if you go on, there's like office supplies. And
yeah.
it's surprisingly mundane stuff, but it's stuff they need in order to continue functioning. It's like, you can go, you can buy, for example, I think the first thing on there was a pack of purple paper that they need for the little cards they do.
For the pumpkin patch.
For the pumpkin patch, yeah. So, yeah, stuff like that you can donate directly. Consider helping out by setting up a costume distribution in your area. If you know of a charity or organization that would be great for distributing costumes to kids in need,
right.
Once again, get in touch with them. Get in touch with us. We'll pass it along most happily. I'm sure we can find a home for some of these costumes.
Right.
And, if you're in the area, donate your time.
Yep.
And the donate your time thing is year round.
Yeah.
They have I'm struggling to even estimate the number of costumes, and I'm realizing I'm terrible at estimation in general.
Well, that's because we don't know how many costumes are in those Amazon boxes. There's probably at least 50 per box, and there were at least 100 boxes.
Yeah, I think me, you, and Ellie organized probably 1,000.
Just that day
that
we were there.
One day, just a few hours. We weren't even there the whole day.
No, 3 hours.
We organized probably close to 1,000 costumes.
Yeah.
And they have many, many more than that. They need help organizing it, getting it into place.
Right.
And also, if you have any kind of technical expertise, they're looking for help in streamlining the request process and in streamlining their inventorying.
Right.
All this is great stuff. And if you tech stuff, by the way, you could be anywhere in the country and help with.
Yes. And also, locally, they do a party for one of the organizations that they're really work closely with. And so then they will need extra help setting up the sets for the party and making it spooky and having a mini haunted house at this event is what it's been described to us as.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, these guys are, or these gals, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are just absolutely amazing, and I'm really looking forward to having them on the show so they can talk more in detail about how they got started, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. It's really, really cool stuff. And
right.
So yeah, weendream.org. Hopefully that's a one you might not have heard of.
Yeah.
And might be able to give some help to. And like I said, anything you do with them will go a long, long way. That's one of the things I really do like helping smaller charities.
Yeah.
Because I really do feel the impact of my effort or my donation or whatever. And
right.
You definitely get that with these guys.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons we like to go to as many charity haunts as much as the big ones.
No, yes.
Because we know exactly where the price of admission is going. It's to help that local community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Another one you might not have heard of, because I had not heard of this one.
Nope.
The Halloween Candy Buyback Program. It's actually, you can learn more at HalloweenCandyBuyback.com, which, fine domain, I guess. Yep. The basic idea here is that businesses, mostly dentists, but it's not exclusively dentists, they make a big deal about that. You
right.
can be any business, set up a Halloween candy buyback program. Now, you can buy the Halloween candy with cash, coupons, merchandise, whatever basically floats your boat.
Right.
And the goal of this is to promote dental hygiene to children. Basically, get... I love how they use all the terminology of gun buyback programs.
Yeah.
Like, talk about candy. It's, we're getting the excess candy off the streets. It's like literally on the site. He's saying that. And I'm sitting there going, jeez.
How much candy is there? Well, we know because we usually have a cauldron full.
Yeah.
We... eat off a first
time. Yeah, we could totally break one of these.
I know.
Oh, let's see what is it, a dollar and whatever? Here you go.
Oops, we accidentally bought too much candy.
Yeah, we always buy too much candy, and that's okay.
Even when we scale back,
it's
weird.
We scaled back significantly last year.
I know, and we still had two unopened giant bags.
Yeah.
And I think it's because as the kids who came to us as trick-or-treaters grow up, we're seeing more teenagers and adults and less actual trick-or-treaters.
I agree with that. And I think that's one. I think the thing is this, we're seeing a lot more people come to the haunt year after year. We've been seeing very steady growth. But the percentage of them, they're also trick-or-treaters, has been going down.
Yeah.
Like, way down.
Yeah.
And it's sad because we love that element.
But,
yeah, make curve back up. We maybe need to promote that better. This may be on us.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, we always have candy left over.
Yeah.
But, so you go, you buy the candy bag.
Yes.
And then you take the candy and you donate it to Soldiers Angels, which is a basically a group that sends care packages to soldiers. Not just soldiers overseas, it turns out.
Yeah.
Like I said originally when we were researching this, but to soldiers in general. And so, this is a pretty neat idea. And that way, that... All those crunch bars or whatever can make it into soldier care packs or soldier, love packs that are sent off to, those serving in the armed forces right now.
Yeah.
And, it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit ill at ease because it seems to have a very anti-candy attitude in some ways.
Well, yeah.
But, like I said, this is...
You don't have to buy... You don't have to sell your favorites. You can keep those and just sell the ones you don't like.
Yeah, sell the filler.
Well, because some people like chocolate and some people like caramel.
Yeah. Some people like fruity stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, this is a very interesting program. And even though I couldn't... I found about a dozen places locally that participated in it last year.
Yeah.
They were all dentist offices. And that seems to be pretty much true across the board. In fact, there was one... The dentist office on Canal Street was actually the closest to participating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's one on Canal Street. Right, and I can picture it in my head. I know where it is. I've driven past it. It's not my dentist. I've never been in there.
Right.
But long short of it is, you can do that. You can support this one by holding a buyback event. And as haunters, we're in a pretty unique place here because, like I said, you don't have to buy it with cash.
Right.
You can buy it with like a coupon that discounts, a discount to your haunt or,
exactly.
whatever. Maybe not a full free pass, but you can basically pay that way.
Right.
And, like I said, you can simply make a candy donation or a donation itself directly to Soldiers Angels.
Yeah.
And if that's the side of this you really want to support.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit ill at ease because they do seem to be very anti-candy.
It's better than dentists saying, here, have all the sugar and never brush. Because, you could have the opposite.
Wasn't this a dentist from Fairly Odd Parents?
Exactly.
yes, there's your Fairly Odd Parents reference for this week, everyone. I'm glad we've covered our bases. But and it's also worth noting that there are a bunch of similar charities. Operation Gratitude is one.
Right.
And I think Operation Shoebox is another that does something very similar. But they don't do the candy buyback. This is just donate your excess Halloween candy to us.
Yeah. Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. That's a perfectly fine way to support. But the idea of the candy buyback program was pretty interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
And finally, among the charities we're going to discuss in detail, mm-hmm. is the Teal Pumpkin Project. And this is something we've actually been participating in here since pretty much the beginning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For 3 years.
For 3 years. Well, it's only 3 years old.
Yeah, I thought it was four.
Well, but it's going to be four this year.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, since the beginning. Yeah, yes.
We've been on board. The website is foodallergy.org/teal-pumpkin-project, or just go to foodallergy.org. And basically, it's by Food Allergy Research and Education.
Yeah.
And what the project does is supposed to allow children with food allergies to be able to enjoy Halloween and trick-or-treating.
Yes.
And this is one of those things that's like, before we started participating in it, I can safely say, I never thought about this.
Yeah.
I mean, you always know that kid in class that has a severe peanut allergy.
Yeah.
And I never stopped and think, wow, trick-or-treating must be rough on him.
Yeah.
I never thought of it. I did not connect the dots in my head. I have no allergies. My immune system gave up decades ago.
Yeah.
It just basically lets everything in.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I never actually thought about it.
Right.
But yes, it is a challenge. So the idea behind the Teal Pumpkin Project is that you offer non-food treats, usually small prizes of some stripe.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You can get the prizes at the flipping dollar store in the party section, like a...
Yeah.
Like the Family Dollar or whatever.
Well, there's that. Also, Target has a pretty good selection during Halloween of $2 for a bag of, like, erasers that are fun shapes or sticker books or...
Glow sticks or random stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can also...
Bouncy balls.
No, bouncy balls are always awesome.
Yeah.
The bane of parents, the joy of kids.
Yeah.
Also, Party City usually has a pretty good selection. Now, I will say this. The Teal Pumpkin Project itself does sell an actual starter pack.
Yeah.
It is $30 for 60 items, plus some posters and things.
Yeah.
It's a bit pricey, but it's also a donation to the organization, too.
Okay.
So, you know, you're paying more than you would at your local dollar store or whatever, but you are getting, A, the official posters and the promotional stuff, and, you know, you're making a donation, too. So, think about it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the other step, you offer the non-food treats, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, you paint a pumpkin teal and place it somewhere to indicate the availability of such treats.
Right. We have a giant teal pumpkin.
Yeah. You know those giant cauldron-shaped and sized pumpkins they sell? I think it was a Target.
Yeah.
We got it from. Yeah, we took that and Krylon touched the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And that actually took a surprising amount of time. It did not take paint very well.
No, it did not.
Lessons we learned here.
So yeah, we have a teal pumpkin and we have a regular pumpkin that's put out.
So yes, we do trick-or-treating as part of the haunt. And yes, we have participated in Teal Pumpkin every year that it's been around. Now, it actually got its start in East Tennessee. Basically, it was just one woman had a child with food allergies. Got the ball rolling on this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is the type of thing. It's like how one person can really kick off something pretty big. And now it's nationwide. There are hundreds of places who do it. It's just really, really badass. And I've got to say, it's been great. And, I don't know if we've never sat there and went to the little kids, you got food allergy? But some kids prefer the non-food trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Because they get candy everywhere else. They can get toys from us.
Yeah, they can get, like, small, cheap stuff, but it's still...
But it's still cool.
And honestly, in a weird way, I think we might actually save money on the cheap toys as opposed to the candy.
Yeah, because a lot of people will just take one or two of the little toys...
Exactly.
...instead of a handful of candy.
So. Exactly. I mean, you give away one or two toys as opposed to 10 pieces of candy.
Right.
You might actually work out financially. You work your own math on that one, but I have a feeling we at least don't lose much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's also just kind of cool to offer a choice, honestly.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not the kids have allergies.
Right.
But still, I love this idea. Ellie was the one that informed us about it.
Right.
And we just jumped on board immediately. And like I said, we got the giant pumpkin. Oh, my God, the giant pumpkin.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous.
Yes.
But yeah, the ways to get involved with this one, pretty straightforward. If you offer trick-or-treating, if you're a home haunter in particular, participate. get a teal pumpkin, offer some non-candy prizes.
Right. Also, if you're a haunt and you throw a party for the neighborhood or whatever, you know, set one out.
Yeah, participate that way. If you are not trick-or-treating, consider hanging up one of their flyers to spread awareness for what this project is.
Right.
I did not know this until I did the research. Why a teal pumpkin?
Yeah.
Because teal is the official color of food allergies.
Oh.
I did not know this.
I just thought they picked a pretty color.
Me too, Patrick. a color that was decidedly non-Halloween, so it would stand out in Halloween. And a pretty color. But no, it actually is an official color for food allergies, according to this organization.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty cool stuff here. But yeah, this is a great one for the home haunters listening to this.
Right.
If you offer trick-or-treating, this is an amazing way that you can help children with food allergies have fun trick-or-treating. Because a lot of kids, I never thought about it, but then I got sad because there's all these kids who go trick-or-treating, they get all this candy.
Right.
And they probably can't eat any of it because of cross-contamination and so forth.
Yeah, well, there is that. But there's also, you know, we actually were doing something for kids that didn't want candy before this specific.
Yeah.
Because we had games.
Yeah, we've.
And so we have, like, the pumpkin toss and stuff. So, and there are different prizes for that are not candy related. You get your candy if you want it, but you can also.
Yeah, we made our own version. If you ever seen the Bozo's grand prize game, where you toss the ping pong balls into the little buckets.
Yep.
We made our own version of it using pumpkins and eyeballs.
Yeah.
And basically, the further the bucket you got it in, the better the prize you got.
Yep. You can pick anything up to there.
Yeah, so if you got in, like, bucket, I think we had 6 buckets.
Yeah.
If you got in bucket 6, you could pick anything across the board. If you got in bucket 3, you could choose from 3, 2, or 1.
Yeah.
And then we learned that the kids really loved the prizes in bucket 2.
Yeah.
It was, like, super popular, and I don't know why. I don't even remember what they were.
No.
But we had to keep refilling bucket 2 that year.
I think it was vampire teeth.
I think it was. I think you're right. You can't predict kids. That's something I thought they were cheesy and stupid, but...
Oh, yeah.
But you're absolutely right. In fact, I remember working front of house on the haunt side, having to tell kids, take the teeth out.
Yeah.
You're not going to the haunt. No, you can't go to the haunt with the teeth in, because if you get hit in the face, you're going to lose your real teeth.
Yeah. Not that anybody has ever gotten hit in the face,
we've seen people run into a few walls with their face.
Yes. So
and I'm amazed at the number of people who run into walls and lead with their chin.
Yes.
So, in case that happens to you, please take the teeth out.
Yep.
But, so that's a really great project for home haunters.
Yeah.
But beyond that, check your local listings.
Right.
Because organizations locally are constantly doing Halloween balls and other events.
Right.
There's several big Halloween balls here by local charities.
Yeah, including one at 13th Gate puts on.
Yes. So there's a lot of big cheer things like that. Also, most animal shelters do some kind of Halloween pet related event.
Yeah.
Doggy dress up day or I don't really understand. I remember one year we went out to a doggy yogurt day type thing during haunt season. And you're supposed to dress your pet up in a costume and bring in. Yeah, we weren't dressing up our German Shepherd in a costume. He would.
Yeah,
he would thoroughly object, and you do not.
Don't object to a German Shepherd.
You don't force a German Shepherd to do much of anything.
No.
The size and teeth advantage they have on you is pretty significant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but stuff like that. Check it out. See if there's opportunities for partnership and cooperation there. And look for the stuff that happened last year, because if they did it last year, they're probably doing something similar this year. Get in contact now. Get on the radar. Get those partnerships forging. And do some awesome work in your community.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm sure we missed some charities.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we did, because we researched this pretty thoroughly. But, hey, you know, things fall through the cracks. Not everything is easily accessible on the internet. So if we miss something, please let us know. Tell us your favorite Halloween-related charities and events.
Yeah.
They do community support and do good work in your area. We are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Haunt Weekly on Twitter. let us know. Hook us up. Give us the information. Maybe we'll feature some of your favorite charities on a future episode. I would love to keep highlighting these. And we're going to try. We're definitely getting the people from Wing Dream on.
Right.
I would love to get someone from pretty much all of these. I don't know about the buyback program, guys. They kind of creep me out a little bit.
That might be because they're mostly dentists.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that one. If you have a non-dentist representative, feel free to have them get in touch with us. We'd love to have them on. No, nothing but love for dentists. This is all in good fun.
Yeah.
But yes, in all seriousness, do let us know anything that we might have missed. Want to continue promoting this. And yeah, seriously, if you want to do more charity work, and you should, we should all want to do more charity work. These are some great places to start. Charities that not only do wonderful things in the community and in the world, but also help keep the spirit of Halloween alive. It's a great combination.
Exactly.
And what can you think better for our industry, really?
No.
Well, anything else? Did I miss anything or skip anything?
No, I think we covered it.
I think we got it. All right. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for spending the past 50-odd minutes with us. We greatly appreciate your time. Once again, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Follow, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Hit the little notification button. Be notified whenever a new episode goes live. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode 67, talking about haunt and Halloween-related charities. We will see you guys next week as we are doing the news.
Yay.
The enthusiasm is dripping off you. Yes, we'll see you then.